We come from Mossel Bay. We've recently moved down here. We've been part of 4PM, one of serving on a team there. And so it's lekker. It's lekker to be here. It's lekker to meet new people, lekker to be in Stellenbosch, see the mountains, all those beautiful things. And it's been an honor to get to know you. It's been an honor to hear your stories, to share Jesus with you, and just to see what God is doing here and that he's added us here now. I'm so thankful for that. But just even in preparation, this week I had a sense of what I want to preach. And I've just been wrestling with it the whole week. I've just been up and down and just felt like, yes, no, this is not, it's just not landing with me. This is landing. Until this morning, I was still sitting and wrestling with God. Because I really feel he wants to do something very unique among us tonight. Something that, you know, I can preach here tonight. And you all can leave and you can go rate that out of 0 to 10. Maybe it's 10, it's very good. Maybe it's 0, I did not understand what he was saying. Maybe you learn something tonight. Maybe you got a new thing that you can highlight in your Bible. But that's not why we do what we do. And I don't want you to just walk out here and hear another preach or see a new face or whatever. I want you to walk out of here and go, I saw something about the King. I saw something new of Jesus. I got a new revelation. He revealed something to me tonight. That's my heart for us tonight. Is that you won't just walk out of here and go back to your normal things, going to your exams and hoping, please let it end so I can start my holidays. But I'm really trusting that God will reveal something new to our hearts about him. So that when you walk out of here, you go, God, you are worthy. You are worthy of my life. So I want to take a moment because I can speak, I can preach, but it's not my words that will make a difference tonight. It will be the Spirit of the Lord impacting our hearts. So maybe where you're at, just would you close your eyes with me? And I don't know, you could have walked in here tonight and gone, I'm just doing this because I have to tick a box tonight that I was in church. You might be here with a friend going, I was dragged here. Why, boy, some people are laughing. That's interesting. You might be here because it is the right thing to do. But I want to say that not one of you are here by mistake tonight. Not one of you are here to just be here. Because God's got a plan. You know, the Father's got a plan tonight. And I want us, all that we have to do, we don't have to do everything because everything was done on the cross in Calvary. But I want you to position your heart tonight to receive what God wants to do in your heart. And I feel that some of us here, our hearts are hardened even. Your hearts are hardened by disappointment. Your heart might be hardened by offense or unforgiveness. But I feel that the Lord is saying, I'm going to soften your heart tonight. I'm coming to soften your heart, make it tender. And so if it's your prayer tonight, that Lord, I want you to touch my heart. I want you to come and do something in me. Just where you're at, just maybe stretch your hands out in front of you. And with faith, Lord, we ask God. We ask God. Come and do what only you can do. Holy Spirit, we invite you. Just where you're at, just invite him. Just forget about any thoughts, anything that you're going to do tomorrow, that test, that thing you're upset about, whatever it is, just lay it down before and right now. Lord, we put those things aside and we say, we want you, God. Just tell him, I want you, God. Just say to him, I want you, God. You don't need the best vocabulary or the best words or the best prayer. It's simple. I just want you, God. Create space for a moment. I know it's awkward. You might go silent. There's a piano playing in the background. There's cars driving in the street. There's seats cracking. Just put it aside because the King of Kings wants to meet with you tonight. And that's a privilege. That's an honor. That's something that we don't deserve, but he wants to. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for that word that you brought, God, to us, for that tongue, Lord, that you say that you desire us to be your people, to belong to you, God. Thank you that you desire us to be your people, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, we are not deserving of this, God. But because of your Son on the cross, Jesus, who died the death that we should have died, you have made us a people. You have made us a people. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. It's interesting. I'm so glad that word came. As I was wrestling with God and just what he wants to share, I felt the Lord said that he wants to tell us that we are his people. Wasn't prepared. We didn't speak beforehand. And it came out now again, and he wants to tell us that we are his people. You know, the world, before I start, let me just put a timer here, because otherwise I'll keep you all night. All right. It's interesting that the most valuable currency in the world is what? What did you say? Tithes, not time. Tithes. It's important. It's your intention. It's not the dollar or this. It's your attention. Adverts, YouTube videos, commercials, what do? They want your attention. Out there right now, what the world wants is your attention. Because if the world can get your attention, if that company can get your attention, they know that you would buy into it and give your time to it. You'll give your treasure, your money. You'll give your talents, your actions, everything you'll give to it. I'm a sucker, you know, when it comes to these things, because I love technology. I love earphones and Apple products and stuff like that. That's why I have this new Apple product. And I've caught myself so many times researching and watching the new video that my heart has gone all the way to just this thing. That I promise you, you can ask my wife, I'll make sure I get that thing. I'll sell everything that I have. I'll sell everything on Marketplace. My wife was like, you just bought it. I'm like, yes, I just bought it. I'm going to sell it again. I'll do everything. I'll go like, Livy, for next year's birthday, you can give me the 1,000 Rand or whatever. Like, because I've given my attention, and when I do that, my heart goes with it. There's a correspondence there. There's something that happens that our hearts gets drawn into things. And I want to ask you tonight, where is your heart? Where's your heart? Just take a moment and think, where is my heart at this moment? Do you know how you can figure that out? What are you thinking about the most, the whole time, every minute, every second, every day? When you're in conversation with people, what are you speaking about? Because the Bible says, "What the mouth is full, what the heart is full of, the mouth will overflow with." Or the King James would say, "Overflow with." Where's our hearts? Where's our hearts? If you could ask one thing of God tonight, one thing, what would it be? What would it be? Lord, please, please, please. I'm going to sleep now and put my exam book under my cushion. Please let it transfer. Bluetooth. Lord, please help me with my exams. That's good. It's a good prayer. Please, Lord, help me with my exams. Lord, I don't know what to do next year. I don't know what to do next year, Lord. Or in 2 years' time. What do I need to do? Please show me. Why? And we just keep talking. What am I going to do next year? What am I going to do? Lord, help me. What am I going to do? Or maybe this guy tonight with the one hand is going to tell me what I'm going to do next year when he preaches. Maybe your heart is with money. I need to study hard. I need to work hard so I can make a lot of money so that at the end of my life I can retire well. Thank you. I'm gonna say die well, but retire well. Thanks, Nico. Lord, help me. Give me the best business model. Maybe your prayers to not God, I'm sick. Lord, heal me. What are you asking of God tonight? What's your prayer? Lord, I'm going through a difficult time. Please get me through it quickly. Lord, that person there, show them their sin so they can come tell me sorry. Tonight in a dream, Lord, I proclaim, decree. Hallelujah. They're going to see. What are you asking of God tonight? Where is your heart tonight? Maybe it's in the holidays. What am I going to do when I get in the holidays? At last I can chillax and Netflix. Where are we? I feel like the Lord's asking you, where are you? Like he asked Adam and Eve. Do you think he asked Adam and Eve that because he didn't know? He knows. But he wants you to know. Because we can get sucked into daily life. We can get sucked into just going and going and going on with our daily rhythm. And our hearts can start drifting. Our prayers start changing. And he wants you. I'm just standing here and I'm looking at your faces. Some frowning at me. Some blushing. Some putting their face away. No, I'm joking. None of you. But I'm looking at your faces and I go, God loves you. And I know you've heard of Jesus loves me this lie, you know, because that preacher told me so. But I feel that the heart of God tonight is to say to you again, he loves you. Where's that guy that brought the tongue? He got that guy to stand here. Were you nervous? A little bit. Oh, you're professional. Sorry, I'm like, I'm joking. To stand here and say a tongue, and I'm like, Lord, please interpret that tongue. Yeah, because the Bible says if there's no interpretation, he needs to interpret it. And she gives it, she gives it the interpretation and, the, and what does God say? Because we can hear what God's saying, we can move on. But he's saying he wants you. Do you hear that tonight? He wants you. He desires you. I mean, he desires me. Do you know what a mess? Like, I make so much mistakes that I go, how? But he desires you. He wants you. And for those of you that might be sitting here that don't even have never given your life to God, he wants you. He wants your life. I'm going to read you a scripture that I don't have, didn't give to the AV person, Kavi. Sorry, Kavi. It was Jana's, TMT the other day, it was Jana's turn. I forget names when I'm up here. Now listen here. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10. God, you're going to get that one. You know, normally the AV people are at the back. You know why? So that everyone can look at him and go like, oh. But that's why she strategically positioned herself over there so you can't look at her. But when she makes a mistake or then put up. There we go. All right. But you, who are you? The Greek word for you there is you. All right. So you are a chosen people. God chose you. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. God's, wow, I love that. God's special possession. Man, that you might, what? Declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I mean, God chose you to belong to him. And when you come and you say, Lord, I want to give you my life. The Bible says you were an enemy of God. Do you know that? You know what's an enemy? It's someone that's against you and you're against them. Before, you were, everything in you were against God. Nothing in you wanted to have anything to do with God. Nothing. Nothing. Your heart was so hard towards him that you did not want anything to do with him. But by the mercy of God, what is mercy? It's not receiving something that you should actually be receiving. We all, I'm totally off my notes here. So, We all sinned against God. We all did. And God is a righteous judge. If I drove down the only street that I actually know in Stellenbosch, Bird Street, it's like, if I went down there 140 kilometers in my Ford EcoSport, and I drive through that Kaya plek there, whatever it might be. I just saw a line of people standing there. And I destroy the whole place. What would happen to me? The cops will come. They won't ask me any questions. They'll take me to a cell. And I'll stand before the judge. And the judge will say, how much did you drink? Will be probably the first question. But it will be, you are guilty. We all saw you do it. You deserve to go to prison. And because you and I sinned against God, what is sin? Hey? Missing the mark, yes. But the Bible, no, it's correct. But the Bible uses it very, it's a very clear explanation. It says this: sin is lawlessness. So there's a law. God's got a law. He's holy. He's perfect. There's no one like him. And you and I broke that law. Therefore, if he's a righteous judge, you and I need to stand in for him. And he goes, you broke my law. You deserve death, hell, imprisonment. We all deserve that. We were enemies of God, not even called the people. We were orphans without a father on our way to destruction, to hell. You know what happened? Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We've all heard that, John 3:16. But do we think about it? Do we remember that God looked at the world, his creation, and instead of just wiping us all out, because if he did it, it would have been fair. Hey, amen? So it's like, we go, it's unfair. I don't deserve this. No, we probably deserve much worse. But God, in his mercy, sent his Son to die on a cross, to live the life you and I should have lived, perfect, and to die the death that you and I should have died. And you know what's the worst there is, we see Jesus on the cross and we go, he died, that was bad. But he faced the wrath of God. Was poured out on him. You and I should have received that. And Jesus died and he rose again. And he took that penalty, that debt, that thing that was written against us. The Bible says there was a legal document written against us that you and I should perish and go to hell. But a holy God died in our place so that you and I can be what? Reconciled in relationship again with him. He took your punishment. I just feel there's something here. He took your punishment. He took your punishment. And when you and I, and it's so beautiful because salvation is only a work of Jesus. None of us can try and earn it or deserve it. It's by grace, through faith. He gave us more. You know, the beauty of grace is it's giving us more. It's like, it's abundant. Suddenly, we're not just saved, not going to hell anymore, but suddenly God says, you are my people, a chosen nation. Suddenly, you and I are no longer enemies, but we're friends. Suddenly, you and I are no longer orphans, but we're sons and daughters. And that's what God, I feel, wants to remind us about. Because we can take this lightly. We forget. We so easily forget. I had a bunch of people over for a braai at my place on somewhere in the week. And somebody asked me, so what's your testimony? And I was like, jeez, okay, let me just think. And as I started telling my testimony again, I realized, my goodness, let me share quickly with you. In high school, I was on fire for the Lord and a lot of things happened, but I got hurt by people and I decided to turn my back 100% against the people and against God. I actually said to God, I want nothing to do with you anymore. I don't want anything to do with your people. I don't want anything to do with you. And I went on to my matric thing, camp thing, to go and do the most horrible sin that I can do. Because I wanted to show everyone a toffee. Like, I don't care. You know what God did? I went on my matric weekend camp thing at Vlakvaartsgat, if you've ever heard the name. It tells you everything. I went there, and the first evening I went, I got as drunk as possible. I woke up the next morning. I went to go sat in my camp chair, picked up my cigarette, picked up my next beer early in the morning, and I looked at a couple on the other side of the pool fighting, and suddenly the presence of God came upon me. And He spoke to me for the first and probably the last time in Afrikaans. But He said to me, if the Lord speaks to you in Afrikaans, it's fine. Bless you. But He said to me, Francois, it is nutteloos en dit gaan eindig. Francois, this is useless and it will end. And look, I couldn't party for the rest of the weekend. It was like, okay, this just happened. But God came and took me out of my rebellion against Him, out of my not wanting to have anything to do with you. I reject you. And He came to me and He went, no, come. You are mine. And the interesting part is when we got back, my mom told me that those exact words is the words that my grandma prayed for me before I went. So prayer is powerful. But God wants you to belong to Him. He wants you, a special people, to be His possession. The Bible says that you have been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Jesus' sacrifice wasn't a little thingy on the side. It was God coming down in the form of man, dying on the cross. That is not cheap. Beloved, that is not cheap. It's not a cheap price. What mercy is this, that God would take the punishment that you and I deserve. He says, I bought you with a price. Now you are no longer your own. You do not belong anymore to yourself, but you belong to Him. And it's not some, I don't want to belong to you thing. It's, I bought you. You are mine now. You belong to me. And a world that demands your attention and your affection and your time and your talents and your treasures, that demands it, we give it so freely. So freely. I do. Many times. But I feel God is saying tonight that He paid it all. He paid it all so that we can give our all to Him. Our all. That scripture, is it Steph? Am I saying you're... Do you still have that scripture, Kavi, that he read? I think it is in Romans 12:1. It's very funny. So I was like going to preach on this verse, and now I'm here. He says this, he says, I appeal to you. I appeal to you. I beg you. This is a serious thing. I appeal to you by the mercies of God. He just wrote about salvation to the Gentiles. That's you and I. Any Jews here among us? No, there's one. So except for him, the rest of us are Gentiles. But if you're a Jew, you're born into a Jewish lineage. Anyway, so that's I'm going to go into the Old Testament and explain it. But you and I, he writes this letter explaining the gospel, and he gets to this part where he says, I appeal to you, therefore. If you ever read the word therefore, don't go on, go back. Because he just explained something that was very serious, which is in this space the gospel that I just explained to you. And he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, because of what Jesus did for you, because of what the Father did for you by sending his Son, what? Present your bodies as living sacrifices. Present. I want to ask you tonight, to what or to whom are you presenting your body? And it's not just what you see here. It's your body, it's your action, it's your doing, it's your talent, your treasures, your everything. Everything that you are, your soul, everything. Your time, everything. He says, present it as living sacrifices. Put it on the altar, put it before God. Say, Lord, here I am yours. I do. That's what salvation is. It's not putting up your hand at one time when somebody said, did you want to give your life to Jesus? It's, Lord, I see that I'm a sinner. I'm on my way to hell, and I received that Jesus died for me. And if I accept this sacrifice and give myself to you fully, that you save me, you put me into your family, you make me your son and daughter, a people. That's what salvation is. Now he says, present. Present. God is asking us tonight to present, to give ourselves to him as his people, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Worship, there's an old word that's used to describe worship, which is actually worth-ship. And when we worship, we're actually telling him, you're worthy of my love. You're worthy of my love. You're presenting, you're giving. You say, Lord, you're worthy. You're worth it all. You're worth every part, every part. You're worthy. When they demand my attention, you're worthy. When I want to give myself and present it to something else and they want it, no, you're worthy. When I don't know what I'm going to do next year, you're worthy. When I'm in trouble going through difficult times, you're worthy. When I don't feel like lifting my hands when we sing to God, when I don't feel like jumping, when I don't feel like laying on the ground, when I don't feel like reading my Bible or praying, Lord, you are worthy. Because you know more than me. He knows. He loves you. He loves you. He's worthy. He's worthy. So worthy. We forget. We go on with our lives and we think that everything else is worthy except for him. And we forget that he saved us. We forget it so easily. But he's worthy. I'm going to read you a quick scripture and I'm going to finish with this. Man. I asked you in the beginning of the evening, what's the one thing that you want to ask of God tonight? And I want to show you a man that totally, totally gave himself to God. A man who knew there's only one found worthy. A man who desired him above all else. In Psalm 27, verse 1 to 4. Just, I wanted to read just verse 4, but I'm going to just quickly read us this whole thing. It says this, and this is David writing. He's saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail or attack me to eat up my flesh," anyone who had people wanting to eat their flesh? No, this guy's in a bad situation. But it's probably just they want to destroy him completely, not eat his flesh. "My adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be comfortable." Confident. Let's leave it there on verse 3. Go back to verse 3. David is speaking to God in the midst of trouble. People want to kill him. He's running. He's in trouble. What is he asking of God? Is he asking God to destroy all his enemies? Or is he asking God to, I don't know, get him out of the situation? No, he's asking God this, verse 4. "But one thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David is saying this in the midst of what's going on. In the midst of those that want to eat my flesh. In the midst of those who want to kill me. In the midst of not be sleeping comfortable, probably hiding in a cave. "All I want is you, Jesus. All I want is you, God. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to gaze upon your beauty. I just want to behold your beauty. Pay a close attention and just see you." Because for David, even if everything was falling apart, Jesus was his anchor. Jesus was the one. God was the one that he wanted, his presence. "One thing I ask. One thing I seek." Are we still seeking? Are we still asking? Are we still gazing? Are we still his? Are you still gazing, looking very intentionally? Are you still seeking? Are you still asking? "Lord, show me more. I just want to fall madly in love with you." He has called us his people. You are his.